Good morning, church. Greetings from New Orleans, Louisiana. Have you ever house sat for someone? Maybe a friend asked you to stay at their house and keep an eye on things, you know, water the plants, watch the dog, just watch over things while they're gone. It's kind of a trust, isn't it? Somebody trusts you enough to take care of one of their most important possessions. And it's not your property. It's not yours. You're just there to take care of it for a while. You don't go rearranging the furniture or trying out new colors. Why? Because it's not yours. You're just watching it for now. That's what stewardship is. It's house sitting in God's kingdom. The Bible calls us not owners, but stewards, caretakers of what ultimately belongs to God. And just like house-sitting, stewardship calls us to live in someone else's house with reverence, responsibility, and readiness for the owner's return. So what does that mean for how we think about money, time, our homes, our talents, even our very breath? Scripture offers us a better way to live. Not clinging to what we think we own, but releasing it back into God's hands with joy and purpose. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." We start here with a foundational truth that's as simple as it is unsettling. It's all God's. The earth, the animals, the people, the air we breathe, it's all on loan. We're not the owners, we're the house sitters. Let's go back to this word steward and talk about what this word really means. It comes from a time of kings and kingdoms. We all know what a king is. The king is the owner, the ruler, has ultimate authority. Right now, I'm standing in front of the St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans. Now, this cathedral was completed in 1794 and renovated in 1850, but it was built in honor of King Louis of France. Now, if King Louis wanted to visit this cathedral, that would have been an incredible journey. Been probably a month on a ship over the sea and a month to get back. Could have been, you know, maybe even a year for this whole journey. And while he was gone, somebody needed to watch over the kingdom in his absence. So a king would appoint a steward to work in their place, to watch over the kingdom, to take care of things while they're gone. Now, the steward doesn't own the kingdom. They don't change the laws and sell off land. The steward is the caretaker. The steward is there to be in charge, have all the rights and responsibilities of the king, but only until the king returns. And when the king returns, the king retains that ownership. Now, we are stewards in God's kingdom, house-sitting until the king returns. I mean, look at it this way. Imagine borrowing a neighbor's tractor. You don't bring the tractor back caked with mud and with an empty gas tank. No, you clean it and you fill the gas tank and you return it better than you found it. That's just respect. It's caring for something that doesn't belong to you. So this week, I'm going to challenge you to walk through your home and say to yourself, this is God's. When you look at your bank account, say to yourself, this is God's. Consider your abilities, your health, the opportunities. They're all God's. Your house sitting, not owning. The second passage we're going to look at today comes from Deuteronomy. It says, "Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Here's the warning. Don't start thinking that you built the house. Don't start believing the lie that everything you have is yours because you earned it. Yes, you worked hard, but who gave you the ability to do the things you do? Who gave you the very breath to get out of bed in the morning? The mind in your head, the opportunities that you didn't control? All gifts from God. Sometimes when you ask somebody, you get invited to their home and you ask them, "How long have you been here?" And they say, "Oh, we built this house 10 years ago. Or we built this house 25 years ago." And in reality, they didn't build the house. They had somebody build it for them. They paid a lot of money for the house, but they worked with a builder and they laid out the plans and the builder did the building. And too often we get confused when somebody else lays the foundations and somebody else draws up the blueprints. We're just the ones who chose the paint and chose the furniture and laid things out, but we didn't supply the lumber. This week, I want you to practice gratitude. If you have a journal, write down things that you're thankful for. If you don't have a journal, use your phone. Open up a new note and write down each morning three things that you're grateful for. I love it. Thank you. This is a really interesting thing. So I read some books by this guy who has done a bunch of interesting research on the brain and the mind. And he has this place where he brings people, very wealthy people that pay a lot of money to do this, and they do all kinds of interesting tests to increase their brain power and to increase their effectiveness. And one of the things that he's found is out of all the things that he's tried, having a gratitude practice is the most powerful thing that he's found to increase somebody's brain power. In fact, studies have shown that having a gratitude practice, what I mean when I say having a gratitude practice, I mean every morning writing down three things that you're grateful for, that does more for your mind and for your mood than a prescription drug designed to help with depression. Gratitude is powerful. Be thankful for what we have. Realize that it's not ours because of our own power and our own ability, but it's all a gift from God. The next passage we're looking at comes from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, Jesus knew that we would struggle with this. It's easy to live like this house is all there is. So we hoard, we clutch, we fear. But Jesus calls us to shift our investment from things that decay to things that endure. We don't build up our savings in a bank that we know is collapsing. So why build your life on things that moths eat, that rust destroys, that thieves will steal? See, it's interesting. Most of us talk like this body is who we really are and that we have a soul. I think it's healthier if we were to say, "I am the soul, and I happen to have a body." I know it seems like a simple switch, but it's a mental shift that we think this is the real me, and the soul is something out there where the body is more important. But if we shift that, we realize that the soul is who we really are. This body is a temporary place. This body is a temporary vessel, a gift from God to use, but we're going to leave this body one day. And we're going to spend a whole lot more time with just that soul. And back to our house sitting illustration, right? No good house sitter renovates the kitchen in someone else's home to their own taste. You don't repaint the walls in avocado green. That's not your job. Your job is to care for what's there and keep it ready for the owner's return. So ask yourself, what am I doing with the things that God has entrusted to me? Am I investing it in things that matter to Him? People, justice, hospitality, the gospel? Or am I hoarding it, fixing up a house that really doesn't belong to me? Here's the beautiful part of the story. God doesn't just let us house sit. He invites us to partner with Him in His kingdom. He invites us to partner with Him in the work of the gospel. What a humbling gift. What an incredible purpose. The king says, here are the keys. Watch over this for me. Care for it like I would. That's amazing. And that's what stewardship really is. It's living with the trust that we have, that what we have is not ours, but it's God's. And using it in a way that reflects His heart. So this week, I want you to take one step as a faithful steward. Maybe it's giving to someone who's in need. Maybe it's volunteering your time. Maybe it's using your gifts and talents to bless someone. And start that gratitude practice. Each morning, write down those three things that you're thankful for and allow God to build that sense of gratitude in your heart. And as you do these things, say to yourself, Lord, show me what to do with the things that you've given me. Friends, the king will return. And when he does, may he find the house well cared for, because it's all his. And what a joy it is to be trusted with his house. Amen.